Blog Talk Radio.
I know you can't meditate. If you're afraid, then you come out with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now bust it open, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Good evening. This is the Ask Roto Baseball Livecast. My name is David Kerr from FantasySquads.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Ask Roto Baseball. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm flying solo. Usually I have a guest. Every single week I have a guest, but tonight, switching it up a little bit, I'm going to be here alone, which is okay because I got plenty of things to talk about. And hopefully we'll have some callers call in if you want to talk some baseball with me. We can talk fantasy baseball. We can talk regular season baseball. We can talk DFS. We can talk whatever you want. DraftKings, FanDuel, anything you got for us, we'll talk about it. 347-855-8714 is the call-in number if you want to call in and talk to me tonight. If you call in tonight, I'll give you a premium DFS pass for this weekend's slate of games. That's a FanDuel lineup, a DraftKings lineup, and also a cheat sheet for GPPs and some other fun stuff that that you can use when you set your lineups. So be sure to if you want to call in, you're gonna get a free cheat sheet. So don't be shy. All right, so let's talk a little bit here to start the show off. I got plenty of things to talk about, and the first thing I want to lead off, I name the shows now in when I create them on Blog Talk. Sorry about that. If you heard that in the background, that was open window. All right. Anyway, so I got plenty of things to talk about. I name the shows on Blog Talk now. And the name of this show is Bauer Power, and we're talking about Trevor Bauer, who went out today and threw a solid game for the Indians, another solid game. The thing we're looking at with Trevor Bauer is the strikeout numbers. That's the most important thing here that we're looking at. And today, he went out for the Indians and pitched a total of 6 innings, struck out 8 batters. They did have trouble with the walks once again, 4 walks, 4 hits. But he's given up 4 hits this season in 12 innings, if you combine it with his last start. And also, he has a total of 15 strikeouts in 12 innings. So that's the important number we're looking at. Seems to me like Mickey Callaway, the Indians pitching coach, has helped to fix Bauer, much like Carlos Carrasco and Corey Kluber, kind of put him in the same category as Ray Searidge, a guy I talk about a lot on this show. The Pirates pitching coach, who's fixed numerous guys, at least that's what I attribute it to, including Vance Worley and Francisco Liriano and Edinson Volquez, to name a few. So, question here with Trevor Bauer is, what type of league are we adding him in? We're adding him in all leagues right now. Here's the thing about it. If he's on your waiver wire, and I my home league this morning, I picked him up because he was still on the wire. I like the matchup at home against the White Sox. You know, White Sox are a tough team, but they haven't gotten off to a hot start. So they're not firing on all cylinders. Cleveland's a decent pitcher's park. I liked Bauer today. He turned out, got me a win and got me some strikeouts and kept the ratios in check as well. So that's really all you can ask for. Now, add him in 12 team leagues. You're adding him in all leagues right now because worst case scenario is you dump him. But if he's available, strikeout potential alone, he needs to be added, and he needs to be started every time he's out there. He gets the White Sox again next week, so keep that in mind as if you're in weekly lineups, setting your lineups, start him again. He'll be at U.S. Cellular, but he's a guy that I would definitely add and start for the foreseeable future, because worst case scenario is he stinks up the joint, you drop him. Best case scenario, I don't want to say Corey Kluber, but best case scenario, you're looking at a guy with the potential to strike out, 180 to 200 batters. I don't know if his control will allow him to do that, because I'm not sure he'll be able to, six innings. He could be Max Scherzer light. Max Scherzer doesn't complete games because he throws so many pitches, and he strikes out a lot of guys, but that's just his game. He has control. He has a little bit of control issue. So he may be Max Scherzer light. Obviously, I'm not saying he's Max Scherzer, but I do like Bauer, and he's a guy that needs to be added and started, and hopefully he'll pan out for you and everybody else that owns him this year. Next guy I want to talk about, Shane Green. 81 pitches last night against the Pirates, and 8 innings pitched. They were the Tigers were winning 2-0, and Brad Ausmus doesn't let him finish the game, which is kind of a travesty, but I'm not the manager, so what does it really matter? The important thing to see with Shane Green is that he throws a lot of different pitches. He's a guy that was heralded by many coming into this season. I can't say that I was fully on the Green train, because I wanted to see him make a couple of starts, but after 2 starts, I mean, what can we say here? He's 2-0, 16 innings pitched. That leads the league, or ties for the lead this in the league. Now, the issue, he's only issued 1 walk. Perfect. We love that. Absolutely love that. But he's only struck out 8 batters. He's not going to be a big-time strikeout guy, but he's going to be a good control guy. He's going to keep the ratios in check, and he pitches for the Tigers, so that means he's going to get wins. He should also be added in all formats. After today, I'm not sure that Bauer or Green is going to be on your waiver wire, but if one or either of them are, they both need to be added immediately, because they can both make a difference to your team. You know, Bauer for strikeouts, and Green for wins and your ratios. They kind of balance each other out. You put them together, you might have a Cy Young pitcher. So either of them are available. I'm talking 10, 12, and obviously anything deeper. I can't see either of them being on the wire in either anything deeper than that. So add both of them and enjoy the production that you're going to get this year out of both of them. 347-855-8714 is the phone number if you're listening live, which I hope you are. If you want to call in, ask me a question, get a DFS premium weekend pass from fantasysquads.com in return. How great is that? You can't beat it. Next guy I want to talk about is D. Gordon. D. Gordon is no fluke, folks. And I think that this year is going to be an even better year for D. Gordon, as long as he stays healthy, of course. Health is always the thing that we look at that we can't control. But assuming he stays healthy, I think he could score 100 runs this year in that Marlins offense. He's batting 364, 3 strikeouts to 2 walks. Hey, we're looking at an 8-game sample size, 9-game maybe after today. I'm not sure if my stats are updated for that, but actually, let's just look. I'm not waiting on anybody. Actually, they're not. He's batting 378 with 3 strikeouts and 2 walks, and that's good. In an 8-game sample size, I mean, you know, this is a guy that struck out 107 times and only walked 31 times last year, while he hit 289, so we can't take that away from him. But big things in store for D. Gordon this year, and you know, if you shied away from him, shame on you. I own him in a few different spots, and I'm happy about that. And I think he's going to pay big time dividends once that Miami lineup heats up, which Giancarlo Stanton, you know, he did yesterday. He didn't have a great day today, but he's a guy that's going to be heating up, and you know, the rest of the lineup should just kind of come together and click, and he's a table setter. D. Gordon is. So 60 steals, 100 runs. I think it's totally possible. I can't say that you'd be able to buy him right now, but who knows? Maybe you could. And if you can, if somebody's selling them, they want to sell high, in air quotes, sell high, overused term, buy, because he's a guy that you want to own. Xander Bogaerts, he's batting .433 this season. You know, he went through a big time slump last year, but he was also, and you know, kind of got written off this off season a little bit. I shouldn't say written off, but he's only 22 years old. Big time prospect. He was a big time prospect headed into last season, and you know, oftentimes, occasionally, a big time prospect can flame out, but oftentimes, big time prospects pan out at the in the end. And in this season, you know, he is, as I said, batting .433, which is a strong number. 7 RBIs, 4 walks to 3 strikeouts. We love seeing that, definitely. And, you know, he's just getting it done. Just taking a look at his splits from last season, Bogaerts batted .230 against righties and .263 against lefties. You know, that shows he has the ability to hit left-handed pitching. We know that. This season, he's batting .667 against lefties and .375 against righties with all of his RBIs, 7 RBIs, and 2 steals. So that is what we want to see out of Xander Bogaerts. Now, he's not going to hit .375 all year against right-handed pitching, but if he can bump that number up into the .260 range over a full season and still hit over .300 against lefties, you know, we might be looking at a possible big-time breakout next season. Who knows? It could happen this year, but definitely next season is something that that we may be looking at. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he I'm going to do a buy low segment in a little bit. And, you know, he's a guy that you're not going to be able to buy low on, obviously, because he is, he's doing well. But if somebody's looking to sell him, because, you know, sell high, we got to sell high on any player that performs early in the season. We have to sell high on. If somebody's selling him, you need to buy him. Pedro Alvarez. Pirates are playing right now. It's on in the background. Andrew McCutchen just reached first base with a single to left field. Andrew McCutchen's a beast. But we're talking about Pedro Alvarez. Big time season coming from Pedro Alvarez this year. I touted him on this very show in the preseason. And I am a firm believer that if Pedro Alvarez can stay healthy, which is key number one, if Pedro Alvarez can stay healthy, and if Pedro Alvarez can adjust to first base without the pressure of playing defense at third base, he's going to do well this year. Now, he's not going to hit over 300 because he's just not that kind of hitter. But could Pedro Alvarez hit 40 home runs? Yes, of course he could hit 40 home runs. He's never done it before, but he has that type of power. You know, we're thinking the mold of Chris Davis. We're thinking the mold of Adam Dunn with less walks. You know, he's a guy that can do it. And I think that he will. And you know, it's a long season. He's a streaky guy. He's a streaky guy that will go through some slumps during the season. But when he's hot, he's really hot. And I think he's going to be hot a lot this year. And he's a big time. He's going to be a big time contributor to the Pirates offense because they need him. They need him to do well. And he will. So another guy, as I mock people, I shouldn't say people, but I mock the term sell high. You know, if somebody wants to sell Pedro Alvarez, then buy him. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Because he's a power guy. Power's hard to come by. And I'm a big, big fan of Alvarez. FantasySquads.com, we have premium weekend passes for DFS. All you have to do is go to the homepage, FantasySquads.com, and on the bar underneath the logo, there is a there's a link, and on the main page too, that says Daily Fantasy Sports Premium Membership. Click the link. It's very simple. Click the link, read about what we offer, read about why we are offering it, and read about why we think you should buy it and what our track record is, because it's documented from last season. And buy a pass for a weekend. You know, there's money to be made on DraftKings, and there's money to be made on FanDuel, and you may need a little extra help, you know, from some good minds, a good mind, Matt McComb. His DraftKings screen name is Xandamere, Xandamere. Search his name and see how he's done on DraftKings. Go ahead, do it. Search his name, Xandamere, and see how he's done on DraftKings, and you are going to see a guy that has performed very well in GPPs, cash games. He's won a lot of money, and he's offering his advice for you for $5 for 3 weekend lineups, or $10 for 2 weekend lineups plus 2 Tuesday lineups. Can't beat that. I mean, you're going to win money. I'll talk about the podcast that Matt and I are doing on Saturdays. We started last weekend, and actually the information is irrelevant at this point because you know, Saturday's games have come and gone, but you know, the information that we talked about before we started actually talking about Saturday night's games is still relevant, and I would definitely encourage you to listen to it. So be sure to check that out. But I will talk about that podcast here in a little bit. The Rockies have switched closers. You know, we talk about this all the time. Talk about closers getting losing their jobs and new guys stepping up to the plate. Adam Ottavino is the new closer in Colorado. This is the right choice for the Rockies. They still roster Rafael Betancourt, and he's a decent arm, but Ottavino is a guy that he's a righty, which is important, at least for me. He strikes out more than a batter an inning, and he owns a career 3.96 ERA since he's been in the league, but he's been much better the past two seasons. 2013-2014, he owns a 3.08 ERA with a 9.3 K per nine. His whip isn't pretty, but let's just, you know, say that it has something to do with Coors Field just for the fun of it. This season, he's pitched 5 1/3 innings and has 10 strikeouts to 1 walk. That's what we like to see out of Ottavino. Hopefully, the added stress of closing games out won't be a big deal for him, but if it is, you know, the Rockies may make another move. Ottavino. Hey, Dave, where should I add Ottavino? Adam Ottavino. Every league. Every league you're in, no matter if it's 8-team league or an 80-team league, you add him. Because he's a closer. He's going to get saves. And the save category is just as important as batting average. It's just as important as strikeouts. It's just as important as home runs. Because you need production. You need balance on your team in a season-long league if you expect to win. I'm a firm believer that punting doesn't work. I'm a firm believer that you should at least try to get, you know, score. You know, if you're playing in a roto league, at least try to score 10 points. Get a 10 in every category, you're probably going to win your league. You don't have to win every category, but try to get a 10 in every league. Try to get a 9 or a 10 in every league, and you're going to win that league. Adam Ottavino, add him. Because he's a closer. You need to add him. All right. Miguel Castro is the Blue Jays closer right now. He's 20 years old, and he's 10 years younger than me, which is wild. It's crazy. But, yeah, so nobody cares about that. But, yeah, he is the closer for the Blue Jays now. 5 1/3 innings pitched. He's has 2 saves. Brett Cecil was supposed to enter the season as a closer. He's I don't know. I guess he's not the closer anymore. But you know, Castro is the closer. And, you know, I don't know what to make of this Blue Jays situation. I'm kind of skeptical. In fact, I'm a lot skeptical because I think I think that this could be a situation where it ultimately it could cost the Blue Jays down the stretch. Castro could end up having a very good year. He may only blow 3 or 4 saves the entire season and be a fantastic arm for them. He owns a career 2.48 ERA in the minor leagues, struck out 9.8 batters per 9 inning. I mean, he's been fine in the minor leagues. He's never pitched above high A, though. Never pitched above high A. I mean, that's okay. I mean, but, if it doesn't pan out, this is a guy that could be shipped back to the minors without question, easily. He's been thrust into this role. Hopefully he succeeds. We want him to succeed. Fantasy owners want him to succeed. He should be owned in all leagues. But this is a situation you need to keep your eye on. Brett Cecil could emerge as the Blue Jays closer. Once again, if there's any fault from Miguel Castro, Roberto Osuna is also another possibility. He's pitched in 4 games, 5 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts. You know, he's done well too. So they may mix and match. They may, they may go back and forth. It's hard to say what they're going to do in Toronto. But I was just hoping that the Blue Jays would be a little bit more disciplined in their bullpen this season. But we'll see how that plays out. But as of now, Miguel Castro definitely needs to be owned in all leagues. So, Alex Rodriguez hit a home run tonight. Who's happy about that? I'm happy about that. Go A-Rod. Go A-Rod. I probably got a bunch of people hating me now, but that's okay. All right. Weekend streamer options. Have a few guys I want to talk about here. By weekend, I mean Thursday and Friday. Okay, Archie Bradley goes up against the Giants tomorrow. 917, I see you in the queue. Be 1 second. Let me talk about Archie Bradley real quick, and I'll be on with you. Archie Bradley made the team out of camp. He's been a top 100 prospect, a top 25 prospect basically, for the past 4 preseasons. Prior, in the off season, and he made the team out of spring training. He is a strong pitcher. He's a strong prospect, and he went out through 6 innings, 4 strikeouts or 6 strikeouts, 4 walks, and while there was a good chance he was going to get bombed, it looked like it did. I was a little skeptical in his first start. I didn't start him anywhere that night, but he did well, and it's going to be a control thing. If he can harness his control, it's going to be a good thing for Archie Bradley for fantasy owners this year. But kind of in the Trevor Bauer mold, and I'm not totally convinced that Bradley's there yet, like Trevor Bauer is. It comes down to control. There's going to be strikeouts, a lot of strikeouts. He's not going to get a lot of wins because the Diamondbacks stink. Not going to be a good team this year, but he pitched well in his first start, and that brings us to Thursday night. He pitches against the Giants. The Giants aren't a good team. They're not a good offensive team, in my humble opinion. They're not a good offensive team. So I would start him against the Giants tomorrow night. Hope that he can control the walks and maybe post 6 to 8 strikeouts and come out of there with a win. I don't know. I know that the Giants will be favorites tomorrow night. Madison Bumgarner is going to be pitching for the Giants, but I would start Bradley because the Giants aren't a good offensive team and he's going to rack up the strikeouts. All right, 917. Please state your name and where you're from. You're on the Ask Roto Baseball Livecast.
Chris from New York City.
Chris, what's going on?
Sam, how about yourself?
Just hanging out here, watching some baseball in the background, doing a podcast, checking my DFS lineups, and helping humanity, the fantasy baseball crowd, win their leagues this year. What are you up to?
Working, but I figured I'd sneak in a quick call. I know
that's
it's
great.
Very early in the season, but do you have anything that's shocked you so far, either from a positive or a negative standpoint, as regards certain players?
I guess it's too early for me to answer, but I don't want to cop out on you. I have to tell you something. So, you know, this early, I mean, I'll say this. We'll start with teams. The Royals starting out 7-0 is kind of a shock to me. They're a good team. They're a good team, but I don't think they're elite by any means. That's kind of shocking. Other things that stand out to me from a fantasy perspective, though, Adrian Gonzalez's big start is the power is a little bit shocking, but we've always known he's been a good hitter. He's just been a good hitter, that's a big deal because he has 5 home runs already. Adam Jones is another guy. I don't want to say he was shocking. He's shocking because he's always great too. But, people try to write off Adam Jones because he doesn't get on base a lot. And, you know, he's just a guy that is able to succeed without a strong on base percentage. And he's shown it over the years. Shocking. Another thing that doesn't shock me is Matt Harvey not having trouble so much as just working out the kinks. I mean, Matt Harvey yesterday, you know, we had him pegged. I mean, I had him pegged for like 8 innings of shutout ball against the Phillies, and that didn't happen. Still got the win, still had a strong game, but, you know, this is a guy that's going to have – he's going to have a few clunkers, I think, over the next couple of months. But, you know, by June, July, August, he's going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. And, I mean, he is one of the best pitchers in baseball, but he's going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. How about you? Anything that stands out to you, Chris?
I have to say that I didn't think the Diamondbacks were going to be as bad as they are.
Well, I mean, they're just not that great of a team, but it's still early. I mean, we have to remember that it is really early in the season, and
absolutely. And it was kind of a bad question this early in the season.
It's not a bad question because it matters. I mean, look at the Braves. They're 6-3. I mean, are the Braves gonna win that division? I mean, no chance. There's absolutely no chance the Braves will win that division. The Washington Nationals are 3-6. I mean, it's obviously very early. There's a lot of things to talk about. One thing I am kind of surprised about is the Reds, though. I will say that the Reds, and the important thing here with the Reds is, if the offense is healthy, they're going to be a good team if they can get some pitching help. Their rotation outside of Cueto is very suspect, and I'm just, I'm not sure that their pitching will be able to do well over a full season, but the offense, Votto looks healthy. Billy Hamilton's done well at the top of the order, at least for fantasy owners. I mean, that guy, you know, everybody was talking last year, like, oh, he's going to steal 100 bags. Well, 100 bags, that's a lot of base stealing. But he's done well this year to the point where he might steal 75, 80 bags this year. He's off to a great start. I mean, if he's going to get on base, he's going to run. He's going to run. He's going to run. Run, run, run. And we know that. You know, his value hurts in on-base leagues, but you know, if you're in standard leagues, he's not going to hit for power, but he's going to do everything else. He's going to score runs, and he's going to steal a lot of bags.
He can win that on-base category by himself.
Easily, yeah. You know, you pair him with somebody like D. Gordon, I mean, that's all you need. You know, you're taking a zero basically from home runs for both of the guys, but then you have to load up on power other places. So, that's how it goes, though, if you want to play, if you want to mix and match. It's like I was doing mock drafts this past off season, you know, a month or two ago, and a popular thing in the room was to draft Ben Revere and combine him with Chris Carter, and you know, and you get a guy that hits, you know, 260 with, you know, 35 home runs and 45 steals. Well, that's an elite player if you combine him in the one, but it doesn't work like that. But if you have one of each, hey, that's not bad. So, anything else you got for us tonight, Chris?
No, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, brother.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you
all
soon.
Right, have a good night.
All right, you too. All right, that was Chris from New York. Thanks for calling in. We certainly appreciate that. And thanks for your question. So I was talking about weekend streamer options. You can call in if you want to call in. 347-855-8714 is the number. I'll give away a DFS pass. I should have given one to Chris, and I totally forgot. But I will give one to you if you call in. If you call in right now, I'll give you a DFS pass for this weekend. Premium pass. This is information that you want if you want to win your leagues this weekend. All right, let's continue on with the show. J.A. Happ against Texas. I think he's another decent streamer option. Kind of dug deep on this one. I only have a couple this week that I really like. In deeper leagues, J.A. Happ went out in his first start against the Athletics in Oakland. Pitched 6 1/3 innings with he gave up 7 hits, 2 earned runs, and a strikeout. He's going to strike out more batters than that. But he's in a good spot, lefty, Safeco Field. I think he's going to put up some decent numbers. He gets the Rangers this weekend. Their lineup isn't great. They got some lefties in the lineup though, and I think Happ can at least give you a quality start with a great chance to win the game, and maybe 5 or 6 strikeouts. So J.A. Happ, this is in deeper leagues. I wouldn't be throwing Happ out there in a 10-team league. I borderline 12-team league. If you're a streamer guy, if you live or die with the stream, he's a guy that I would throw out there. But otherwise, he's a deeper mixed league play for me as a streaming option this weekend. So J.A. Happ is another guy to look at. All right, Yasmani Tomas was called this weekend. Yasmani Tomas was recalled today to the Diamondbacks. Now, there's a lot of discussion about Tomas, and I am not a big fan. I think for $68.5 million for a guy that's never played in America, that played in Cuba, obviously lesser talent, he's a guy that could make a difference for fantasy owners, but he's not a guy that I'm oogling over. I mean, he's not going to be Jose Abreu. He's not going to be Yasiel Puig. And I'm not even a huge Puig fan, but that's what I mean. He's not going to be either of those guys. And I don't know that he'll have a great career in the major leagues, but he's a guy that should be added in deeper leagues. 12-team leagues, let somebody else, if somebody wants to trade for him and you own him, sell him, because you'd probably be selling him to the guy that loves prospects, loves the unknown. So sell him off, because we haven't seen anything from him, and we have no reason to believe that he's going to come up and just be fantastic. In the Cactus League, he batted .257. That's with single A pitchers and double A pitchers, triple A's, and major leaguers. And then he's been in Reno, triple A Reno, with the Reno Aces. And he's had a handful of bats in a couple of games, 4 for 21. That's a 190 average to start for them. The Diamondbacks need the bat, so they called him up. But this guy needs probably a couple of months in the minor leagues before we can count on him. I mean, if you want to add him in your 12-team leagues, I mean, be my guest, but I just don't think that he's going to be giving you the type of production that you're going to expect out of the name value that he brings, because there's a lot of unknown. So just be wary of Tomas. And if somebody's like, hey, can I get Tomas? I'm interested in Tomas. Of course, sell him. And if you need some advice, follow me on Twitter at AskRotoBaseball and ask me. Ask me your questions, and I'll help you out. I'm available all the time for you. That's what I have the handle for. 347-855-8714. I have a DFS weekend pass that I really want to give you. All you got to do is call in. It's that simple. DraftKings lineups, FanDuel lineups, got it all for you. On Saturday, this past Saturday, Matt McComb, our DFS expert, the guy that puts these lineups out, gives you all the juice, all the knowledge that you need. And he's a winner, too. Look his name up, Xandamir, on DraftKings and FanDuel, but he's mainly a DraftKings player. So check him out there. The track record speaks for itself. We're going to be doing a weekend podcast, a DFS podcast. We're going to try to do it every Saturday afternoon, late afternoon, early afternoon, whatever. We're going to try to get that in, talk about the evening slate of games. There's always, you know, tons of games on Saturday night, usually 8 to 10 games. So, you know, call the same number, 347-855-8714, if you want to call us up on the evening games. And for the DFS slate on Saturday night. So hit us up. It's a new podcast, and there's plenty of good info, and this guy knows what he's talking about. I'm just along for the ride. I'm just hosting it. I'm just hosting the podcast. That's all. So that's it. Very easy. All right. Let's move on. All right. It's got some buy lows. I like to mock the word buy low. I like to mock the word sell high. But you know what? I got some buy low candidates for you tonight. And these are guys that people might be a little bit wary of owning because of the fact might be a little bit wary of owning. Oh, Lucas Duda hit a home run. I called that on Twitter a little bit ago. How about that? DFS, baby, DFS. All right, enough of that. All right, it's got some buy lows for you here. These are guys you might want to acquire because people might be looking to move them. Impatience is a big-time deal in fantasy baseball. It's a big-time deal in fantasy sports. This guy, we're 1 week into the season. This guy isn't performing. Well, of course he's not performing. It's only 1 week into the season. You ever get off to a bad start? Do you ever have a bad day in life? You ever have a bad day in life? Of course you do. These guys are having bad days at the plate. Things just aren't working out for them. Things just haven't gone their way yet. I have a trio of Astros that I would suggest you'd be on the lookout for in your leagues. I bet you can guess them if I gave you the chance. Chris Carter, Evan Gattis, George Springer. Let's go through these batting averages. Chris Carter, we know he doesn't hit for average. We know that. We knew that coming into the season. What else do we know about Chris Carter? He's hit 29 and 37 home runs, respectively, the last two seasons. He's batting .077, two home runs and 26 at-bats. Two hits and 26 at-bats, not two home runs. We wish both those hits were home runs, but they're not. Two hits and 26 at-bats. Buy low. He's going to go through peaks. He's going to go through valleys. He's going to go through peaks. He's going to go through valleys. Sometimes the valleys are pretty deep. But, you know, at the end of the day, he has the ability to be a big-time game changer when it comes to particular categories, and that is home runs and RBIs. Two categories he's going to give you a lot of production in. Buy low on Chris Carter. George Springer's another guy. George Springer's batting .133. Not good, but that's okay because he's not going to bat .133 all season. He does have 5 walks this year. That's good. He does have 2 stolen bases. That's good too. we like to see that kind of thing. That's the kind of stuff that we really want out of George Springer. We want to know that he's walking. We want to know that he's stealing. The home runs are going to come around. He hit 20 home runs last year, only stole 5 bases. So he's already almost halfway to his he's just below his halfway point in stolen bases. He's probably going to hit 255 to 260 this year, only looking up. When he starts hitting home runs, much like the rest of the Astros, they're going to come in bunches. And that means good things if you own George Springer or if some schlub in your league is looking to sell him, because he's a guy that you need to acquire because of the home runs. He's a guy you need to acquire because of the stolen bases. Evan Gattis batting .071, 2 hits and 28 at bats. I started playing him in DFS yesterday because we're just waiting. He's going to have a breakout game. He's a guy that can hit home runs, 22 home runs and 401 plate appearances last year, 21 home runs and 382 plate appearances last year. It's going to happen. He's in a better home ballpark. Once he gets comfortable, once everything kind of falls into place, Evan Gattis is going to turn it on, going to turn the power on, and it's going to be nothing but good things coming from Evan Gattis most of the time. Once he gets these slumps out of the way, once all three of these players get their slumps out of the way, you know, we might look back and see from May 1st on that all of these guys hit, you know, 270 for the rest of the season. Might be a slow April, but let somebody else deal with the bad numbers right now, sweep in, acquire them, and then you're looking at three guys that are going to give you power. And then with Springer, the possibility of some steals too. So keep that in mind. Brandon Moss, Cleveland Indian Brandon Moss, is off to a slow start. 2 hits and 20 at bats. Not good. Not good at all. But he has been walking a little bit. He has 4 walks. He's another guy. I was higher on him actually last year headed into the season, but he wasn't recovering from hip surgery, which is, you know, something that is a big time deal. So he wasn't recovering from that, which, you know, last season. So I wasn't too skeptical on him. This year I was a little bit skeptical. May take a little bit of time for him to get everything going, but he's still a power bat. He still fits well in Cleveland, and I still like him as an option. So, the Astros scored a couple of runs. Jed Lowry hit a home run. Okay. All right. We thought maybe one of our guys here hit one, but no. It doesn't seem to be the case. All right. But Brandon Moss is another guy. Evan Longoria, he's up to .222, had a hit earlier tonight. You know, Longoria may not be the average guy that we always love, but he's still a strong bat. He's still going to hit home runs. And I think that he's a guy that should be on your radar. If he continues to slump a little bit, swoop in and grab him because he's still a strong hitter. And he's a top 50 pick headed into this season. Adrian Beltre is the final guy I have for Bilo, batting .188 this year. He's grinding out there. He has a home run, but he hasn't done much else. He'll finish the season around .300 or better. With, 25 home runs roughly. If that lineup can stay healthy, he'll be in much better shape this season. So those are some guys that you need to buy low on: Chris Carter, Evan Gattis, George Springer, Brandon Moss, Evan Longoria, and Adrian Beltre. Notice that they're all power hitting bats off to slow starts. Power hitting bats, power hitting bats, power hitting bats. 347-855-8714. Got a couple of minutes left. I'm going to answer a couple of Twitter questions. If you're listening live and you want to call in, I got a DFS pass for you this weekend, and I'll give it to you if you call in. All right, let's hit these Twitter questions. This first one comes from at FranksYanks23, Frank Modolo. He asks, I have a good topic for you. Springer or Soler the rest of the season and in Dynasty? Okay, let's break down the rest of the season. You know, Soler is a strong power guy, and I like him a lot. He's a top. He was a top 100 prospect. He was a top 20 prospect headed into this season. And he's gonna have a strong year. He'll have ups and downs too because most rookies do. But you know, he's batting 296 with two home runs. And he's going to have some strong games. He hit two home runs against the Reds the other night. And, you know, I like him, but I still prefer Springer because Springer gives the added bonus of some steals. And I just think by the time the end of the season rolls around, overall numbers, we're going to see Springer with overall numbers now, or better overall numbers. Now, also I think that long term, I like Springer better because I think he's more of a five-tool player, and that's what we love in fantasy and fantasy baseball. So I'm going to say Springer in both cases, but that is not even remotely discounting Jorge Soler's numbers that he's going to put up this year and in the future. This is a guy that could be a 30 to 35 home run guy. And when it's all said and done, because he's only 23 years old, so I'm good with Soler this year. You know, I'm thinking maybe 20 to 23 home runs is doable for him. And once this Cub lineup completely comes around with all of the guys, Chris Bryant, obviously Anthony Rizzo's there. Those type of players coming up through the system, Addison Russell, it's going to be a big deal. And Soler's going to be right in the heart of that lineup, and he's going to be putting up some big time numbers. But I still like Springer based on the 50-50 potential. Or the 50-50. DFS is on my mind. The five-tool potential. I was thinking 30-30 because I think Springer's a guy that could be 30-30. But, you know, that's something we'll find out in the future. All right. Final couple of questions. These are from Yancey Eaton, at Yancey Eaton. Shout out to Yancey. He is new to DFS, and he wants to know why the two major sites, a couple of major sites, he wants to know why they put DL guys up. They list players on the disabled list, and why are they higher than players in the actual lineups? Well, I did a little digging, Yancey, and this may not be correct, but this is what I would say is the reasoning. You know, I don't know that DraftKings or FanDuel tracks players that are on the DL, like when they'll come off the DL, we'll say. So as far as DraftKings or FanDuel is concerned, these players could come off today. And just because a player has been out for a couple of weeks or a month doesn't mean, you know, if Andrew McCutchen, for instance, comes off, has been out with a sore quad. Let's say he was on the DL for a sore quad. He comes off the DL. I mean, we don't really think a player like Andrew McCutchen is going to have much rust. So he's going to be priced as he normally would be. I mean, these are professional players. There's just as good a chance that Andrew McCutchen could come off the DL and hit a home run as there is that he won't do anything. So it's probably easier for DraftKings and FanDuel to not have to manually go in to their site algorithm and then, you know, tweak who's like on the DL, coming off the DL, just got placed on the DL. You know, if a guy gets guy gets placed on the disabled list, it's probably automatic in their system, and you know, it just says DL beside their name, but maybe the computer doesn't actually read it as these guys are on the disabled list. It's possible that they could hide disabled list players. but then again, you know, it's a thing where they might have to manually go in and take players off. And, you know, if you're, you know, if you take, for instance, a guy that's coming off the DL, Chris Sale came off the DL this past Sunday. The White Sox, I don't think, activated him until Sunday around 11 in the morning or maybe noon. So he wasn't officially activated until that time. So they would have to go in, wait until he's activated, go in, and then put him back in the player pool. And you have people that have had all of their lineups already made at that point or don't want to go. You know, they've had their lineup set in the sense that, you know, we're playing a pricing game here. So Chris Sale's $10,000, you know, it's kind of hard to fit $10,000 worth of salary into your lineup. So it's probably they just keep the players in the player pool, maybe based on name value, maybe based on opponent. I know that the Rockies went home against the Cubs. Vegas had those games at 9 or 10 over-under, all three games. And the prices were crazy. Tulowitzki was like $7,000. He jumped from like 4.7 to $7,000 just because they went home and they were, you know, facing another pretty decent offense, so it was expected to be a high scoring game. It probably just goes, they look who's the opponent, okay, let's adjust the price based on opponent, but we're not looking at disabled list. I guess we as owners are and players on the sites are supposed to know that, and obviously if we're paying attention we do know that. But that's a good question. I like that question. All right, Yancey also asks, am I going for K's more than trying to avoid runs scored? Because many times guys will get pitched 7 shutout innings and get very few points. And, you know, you're exactly right, Yancey, because on DraftKings, let's just look at DraftKings scoring. For inning pitched, you get 2.25 points. Solid, 2.25 points. Strikeouts get you 2 points. So if you get a guy that strikes out 2 hitters in an inning, and assuming you don't give up any hits or walks or hit batsmen, and obviously earned runs, but so say a guy throws a scoreless inning, 2.25 innings, 2.25 points with 2 strikeouts is going to get you 6.25 points, 4 of which come from strikeouts. So if you look at a guy that doesn't strike many batters out, like let's say Adrisamir Despange, I hope I said that right. He doesn't strike many batters out, but he's a solid pitcher, but he's a control. He's a solid control pitcher, and but he doesn't strike many guys out. So he's going to hurt. What you want is guys with high strikeout totals that are going to perform. And, you know, if you want to get cute in GPPs, that's the name of the game. You got to find the low ownership guys that are going to that might have big games. I played him in a GPP tonight. I'll just say it. I played him in a GPP tonight because there was some upside. The Giants stink. Tyler Matzek, I played him in a GPP because his price was cheap. And, you know, if he doesn't hit, you know, no big deal. It's not a big deal if he doesn't hit. But if he does, he has the strikeout total. He could rack up 7 strikeouts against the Giants and pitch 6 innings. A lot of those numbers are coming from the strikeouts. Two points per strikeout on DraftKings. That's what you want. High strikeout guys. In cash games, I'll always say this, in cash games, be sure to roster guys in cash games that are safe for pitchers. No need to get cute in that situation. You know, everybody else, like today, this afternoon, who was I rostering in cash games on DraftKings? Easy. Trevor Bauer, strikeout upside, and Dan Heron facing the lowly Braves. Gio Gonzalez is probably the best overall pitcher, but he's facing a good lineup with Boston. I didn't want to touch that. Bauer and Herron, best two pitches of the afternoon. Bauer had the strikeout rate that you want. Herron has the control and can throw in a handful of strikeouts. So, you know, that was my thought process on that this afternoon. Yancey also wants to know why he's not a millionaire for playing DraftKings at. Well, Yancey, because you haven't played enough big stake games. You need to be playing the $1,000 double ups, 50-50s. You need to be playing in $500 buy-in tournaments. And you need to get better, Yancey. You need to get better at DFS. That's why you haven't won $1 million yet. And neither have I. But maybe someday. Thanks for your questions, Yancey. I love talking about DFS. It is a it's a great thing. It's a fun thing. My love is still season-long fantasy baseball, but I'm a big fan of DFS, and I play it daily, as I should. All right, that's it. That's all I got for you. I flew solo tonight. Kind of had a little bit of fun doing that. 8:55, got the podcast in 55 minutes. It's fun. I could talk for 55 minutes to myself. Can't beat that. All right. This Saturday, I don't know if I'm going to have a show. I might have a show. I might not. Depends on how things go on Saturday afternoon. A DFS Saturday preview show. It is. I'm going to the Pirate game on Saturday night. Pirates Brewers. So I don't know if I'll be able to squeeze in a show, but I'd like to. And if I can do it, we'll have a show. Just follow me on Twitter at AskRotoBaseball, and I will tweet out the links. Thanks for listening tonight. Excuse me. Don't like to do that right before we go off the air. Thanks for listening tonight. Next week, Jason Catania from Bleacher Report is going to be here. And we're going to be talking fantasy baseball. We'll see what happens over the next week. I'm sure there's plenty of things to there'll be plenty of things to talk about. So, yeah. Thanks for listening tonight. Certainly appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Everyone out there, have a good night. Have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you soon. Follow me on Twitter at AskRotoBaseball, fantasysquads.com.